It's 2 Corinthians 9, 6-15. So for those who've just joined us, 2 Corinthians 9, 6-15 says this. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seeds to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Well, hardly a day passes, does it, where we don't give thanks to someone. I was at the supermarket recently and I just left the checkout, but unwittingly I'd left behind my card in the machine. And there was a call from someone behind me saying, "Oi!" And I thought, oh, don't look round, it can't be for me. But anyway, she did get my attention and waved my card. And I was very thankful and said, thank you for giving me that card back, my card back. It may be you give thanks for a colleague at work who covers you so that you can get home to a sick child. A person who makes coffee for you at your local coffee shop. I mean, there's just so many times we give thanks. Often, it's instinctively, isn't it? We don't even think about it. The words just come out of our mouths when someone serves us. But it's not natural. It's not natural. We have to learn to say thank you. We have to be taught that this is how we respond when someone gives us something. I was reminded this last week, a neighbour of ours was taking her two little granddaughters for a walk, and she called in to say hello, and I was picking some French beans in the garden, and as I was picking them, I was munching on one, and the children said, oh, can we have one? And so I gave them a French bean, and Granny said, now what do you say, children? And they sort of looked blankly and thought, I know I'm meant to say something. What is it? Oh, yes, thank you. You know, you could see the cogs turning. And just as we have to teach people to say please, we have to teach children to say thank you over and over again until it becomes habitual. But even then, there are times, aren't there, when we should give thanks, but we don't. I was listening to the radio yesterday. I heard a father talking about his son and his relationship with him and how hard he found it that his son was so ungrateful, not thankful. He cited an example where he'd lent, or given him rather, some money because he was in debt, thousands of pounds it turned out. And his son never said thank you, and he'd not forgotten that, that he'd failed to say thank you. He said he wasn't acknowledging the kindness and generosity that I'd shown him. Not saying thank you revealed, actually, there was no sense of indebtedness. And that without his help, he would have remained in a real pickle. Now, I know there are times when I don't want to say thank you. I know I should because of the generosity and kindness of someone towards me. But I don't want to be indebted to them. I want to be self-reliant and not dependent, which reveals the pride in my heart. Well, as James has said, we're thinking about Thanksgiving. Particularly giving thanks to God, not something we expect from those who don't know God or trust Jesus. But if we do know God and are trusting in Jesus, we should actually be people marked by thankfulness. Giving thanks to God should just be part of our natural daily life. Well, here's four truths this afternoon about thanksgiving. We're not going to look at one passage in isolation, and of course, I'm not going to say everything there is to say about thanksgiving, and over coffee afterwards, I'm sure there'll be other truths that you would like to add. Here's the first of these four truths, and I do think this is the most important truth, really. Thanksgiving brings glory to God. Thanksgiving brings glory to God. Have a look at that passage that we've just read, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 15. Here is Paul encouraging the Corinthians to be generous. He's making a collection for other Christians who are suffering the effects of famine. And he makes the point that the God in whom they trust is generous. He says this in a number of different ways. Verse 8, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And then in verse 10, now he, that is God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Then he says in verse 11, it goes on to say, you will be enriched in every way. God is generous. That's the point he's making. So generous, you cannot outgive him. You will not be a loser if you give generously. So verse 11, he goes on to say, you can be generous because the God in whom you trust is generous. And let's imagine for a moment that the Corinthians, in response to this, are generous. What would we expect the response to be? Think what response you have when someone is generous towards you. You thank them for their generosity. You tell others about how generous they've been towards you and how grateful you are. But that's not what Paul says the response will be. Verse 11, again, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The glory doesn't go to the Corinthians, but to God who supplies all their needs, the God who enables their generosity. And this thought is repeated in verse 12. This service you perform, that is giving, is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. And then you'll see how he concludes in verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, that is the gift of God's grace, that is enabling them to give in the first place. God has given them the grace, and thanks are due to him, which brings him glory. Now, our thanksgiving increases and grows, if you think about it, as we recount God's grace. So, for example, if we share something in the scriptures, and I hope this happens in a sense on a Sunday as we hear God's word, as we recount some of the great truths, we're reminded of those and it warms our heart. We want to give thanks. For example, Romans 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, Lord. While I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. Or another verse in Romans chapter 8, that's right, in chapter 8, says that God has made us heirs with God and co-heirs with Christ. I mean, what a privilege that is. Thank you, Lord. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says this, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. When we're thankful, we're acknowledging who or what someone has done. They become the focus and center of our attention. So take something that we might consider a thankless task. Let's take a cleaner in a public toilet. Maybe you go into the toilet and it's especially clean in a way that you haven't seen before. And you notice the cleaner there. And you go to them and say, thank you, I really appreciate the cleanliness here. We're exalting them, we're noticing them often in a role that would go unnoticed. When I give thanks to God, I'm exalting him, I'm making much of him. Now, of course, giving thanks to God is of a different magnitude altogether to a cleaner, for I'm infinitely indebted to God for his grace. Everything he does for me is free and undeserved. Thanksgiving brings glory to God. The truth is, though, that we've often treasured other things and other people more than we treasure Jesus or God our Father. We've been thankful for the gifts, the good things that we've enjoyed, as we heard earlier, holidays and family and so forth. Those are good things to give thanks for, but do we give thanks to the God who is the giver of them in the first place? Unthankfulness is the heart of our fallen sinfulness. Romans 1 puts it so clearly when it says this, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him." And that is because the proud and self-sufficient heart does not give thanks. I can't bear the thought that someone other than me might get the limelight and the glory. But how foolish when we consider the blessings we have in Christ. It's why we should recount them. You may know that song, "Count your blessings, name them one by one." If you've got small children, that's a very, well, even if you haven't got small children, that's a good thing to do. What are you thankful for? And just keep going until you run out of things, blessings that we enjoy in Christ. We are so indebted to him. Our life, our breath, everything we have is a gift from God. He owns us. We're not our own. And our duty, therefore, is to be thankful to him from our hearts. But so often, if you think about it, we're not thankful. So often, we grumble and complain. Which leads me to the second truth about thankfulness. Thankfulness displaces sin. Thankfulness displaces sin. Grumbling comes very naturally to most of us. We grumble about our children, the racket they make. They won't go to bed when we want them to go to bed, the mess they make. We grumble about our colleagues at work or the waiting times at the NHS for surgery or having to look after our grandchildren in retirement or ill health or lack of money to do what we want to do. The list just goes on and on. At heart, those grumbles are about me and my troubles and how things have not worked out the way I wanted them to. So here's a good question to ask those who are having a grump and complaining about something. What have you given thanks to God for recently? What could you give thanks to God for today? Someone asked me that question when I was having a moan many years ago, and it stopped me in my tracks because I thought, actually, I haven't been giving thanks to God. Have a look with me at Ephesians chapter 5, just a couple of pages or a few pages on from where we are. Ephesians chapter 5 is on page 1176. Paul is talking to the Ephesians about how they're to live in the light of Jesus Christ and his love for us, so clearly seen in his sacrificial death. You pick it up there in verse 2, "Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So he's speaking to Christians, those who know the love of Jesus Christ, know his sin-bearing death. And then he goes on to spell out the implications. "But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." Paul here commands believers to stop sinning. He doesn't just say don't, he puts something in its place, a replacement, if you like, and the replacement is thanksgiving. Paul knows that our hearts are always at work, like yours are at work now. Here, it's either sinful, thankless hearts, which he says in this particular case lead to obscenity and foolish talk and crude jokes, or believing hearts that please God in our speech. You know what happens when you get into a bath that's completely full to the brim? As you lower your massive weight into the bath, It displaces all the water. It's not something to try at home because the water, unless you have one of those wet rooms and stuff. But you get the point. Thanksgiving displaces sin. Try grumbling and giving thanks at the same time. It's not possible because thanksgiving displaces sin. You can't praise God and curse him at the same time. So when your mother or your son or your friend or your brother and sister in Christ starts grumbling or complaining, gently, smiling, ask them, what are you giving thanks to God for today? Now, of course, there may be genuine grievances that we have, and it's okay to express those. But thankfulness, whilst not changing our situation, whilst not changing the circumstances, will change our attitude. It puts what we're grumbling about in its proper perspective, because it puts God and Jesus Christ at the center and me and my problems in their proper place. We may have much to grumble about, but how much more in Christ do we have to be thankful for, even when it's tough? Which leads me to the third truth about thankfulness, and it's this: thankfulness in all circumstances. Thankfulness in all circumstances. Turn on a few pages to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you're a visitor, we don't always do this. We normally stick in one passage. But because we're thinking about thankfulness and what the Bible has to say, we're looking at a number of different passages. Page 1188. Now, suffering in some form will come to all of us. Some of us may be deeply in it presently or have known it in the past. It may be depression. It may be disappointment. It may be disease. It may be experiencing the death of someone we love. Suffering comes in many forms. How can we give thanks when we're hurting? What sense do we make of 1 Thessalonians 5:18? Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. He says the same thing in Ephesians 5:20, give thanks to God the Father for everything. Now, how is this possible? Well, you may be familiar with the words of Jesus as he eats the Last Supper with his disciples, words that we regularly say when we share the bread and the wine. Don't look it up now, but in Luke 22, it says this: Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Here is Jesus hours before an agonizing death, an unjust execution. He breaks the bread as a picture of his body, which is going to be broken, his death. And what does he do? He gives thanks. Is he just giving thanks for the bread? Well, surely he's doing much more than that, because the bread is symbolizing his imminent death. He is giving thanks to his heavenly Father. Now, how come? How could that possibly be? With the prospect of crucifixion, of bearing the sins of the world, of being forsaken by his Father. Because he knew his suffering had a purpose. He knew that his suffering wasn't random, but redemptive. That his suffering would be in place of, as a substitute for others not having to suffer. And for this he gave thanks, for his heavenly Father's perfect sovereign plan for the salvation of the world. Thankful for the grace that would flow to others as a result of his death on the cross. So what can you give thanks for in your suffering, in your disappointment or depression or disease or struggling with bereavement? Well, surely for the hope we have in Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection, that a day is coming when there will be no more mourning or tears or crying. Surely to give thanks for the great promises of God that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that he's always with us in the midst of suffering. Surely to Jesus, who loved us and gave himself up for us. Surely to give thanks to God that he knows what he is doing. He is sovereign over all of life, every circumstance, even the most tricky and troubling. He is at work, conforming those who love him to be more like Jesus. Thanksgiving in all circumstances. And finally, the fourth truth is this. Thanksgiving is to be declared. James has said that already. Thanksgiving is to be declared. Why is it we think thankful thoughts often, but don't express them? Someone said to me a couple of weeks ago how much they'd appreciated what Andy Kearns had said at the Holiday Bible Club, the big service that we had in the tent, where he was speaking about the rest that we have that comes out of our relationship with Jesus. And I said, have you gone to Andy and said how thankful you are? Oh, no, 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 they said, I haven't done that. That might give him a big head. To which I said, no, go and tell him. He'll need encouragement, like we all need encouragement. Rarely get thanks. And that's true of other situations we can think of, isn't it? Sometimes we can just be too proud to express our thanks, afraid that we might look weak or foolish. We don't want to look indebted to them if we say how grateful we are for some kindness that we have received from someone. Thankfulness to God is to be declared. So the question is, are we doing that privately in our prayers to God? This little series has followed this mnemonic of ACTS, Acts. Adoration, which was praise, we thought about a couple of weeks ago. Confession, coming before God, acknowledging who we are. Thanksgiving, that we're thinking about today. And then next week, supplication, when Andy's with us. Please, in other words. The Psalms are a great place to find declarations of thanksgiving. And very briefly, as we come to an end, we're going to look at, finally, one last passage, Psalm 136, which we touched on just a bit earlier in our prayers. So have a look on page 626, right in the middle of the Bible, page 626, Psalm 136. And as we saw earlier on with the children, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And you get this refrain that runs throughout this psalm, his love endures forever. But cast your eye down and see what he does as he gives thanks, what he is doing. Verses 2 and 3, he says, give thanks to the God of gods. He's the Lord of lords. In other words, he's exalting God. He's declaring who he actually is. And then he declares his wonders, verse 4, what he has done. And he spells them out in verse 5 in creation. And then he moves to the great rescue of people in verses 11 and 12. He's bringing them out of Egypt and the inheritance his people have in the land. Now, as those living in the light of Jesus Christ, we see these so much more clearly, how they're fulfilled in Jesus. The rescue we have been beneficiaries of through his death on the cross, the inheritance we have, the future home with God. And as we declare our thanks, as we've been doing today, think what it does. It stirs us up in our faith in Jesus Christ. It reminds us of the great truths that we know, that we can be confident of the future with him. It turns, in other words, our hearts, our thinking heavenwards. As we name our blessings one by one, as we thank Jesus for the cross, it reminds me that my deepest problem, that is my sin, has been dealt with. It reminds me he is sovereign in every circumstance. So we should never tire of declaring our thanks to God in Jesus Christ. So let's encourage one another to do so. So over tea, a good question to be asking one another is, what are you giving thanks for at the moment? Especially if they start complaining and grumbling and moaning, which I don't think anybody will do after this afternoon. But if we're tempted to do, let's ask, what are we giving thanks to God for? And we can do that now in the words of this prayer. This comes out of the prayer book. It's on the printed order of service. And you'll see what this prayer is doing. It's directing the thanks to God, praising him, as it says in line 4, for our creation, our preservation, the fact that you are breathing today. God is sustaining you moment by moment. All the blessings of this life, and then above all, for what he calls the immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus. Let's join together in praising God, thanking him in the words of this prayer, saying together, Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we give you our humble and wholehearted thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all people. We praise you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life. But above all, for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And give us, we pray, such a sense of all your mercies that our hearts may be truly thankful and that we might bring you praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, forever and ever. Amen.